Thanks, Wanda, for sharing the hymn. Yeah. Let us pray. Lord, this morning we come to you as we gather before you in your name and learning gather before you in your name. We ask you to grant your presence. And as we read your words, Lord, we ask you to give us faith and reveal your words in our heart so that we can see you. We can know how much you have accomplished the salvation for us. Thus we come to you, we commit everyone into your hands. Some brother and sister may be on their way because of the heavy raining. We ask you to keep them safe and peaceful. Lord, we also ask you, as we come here, is there anything you protect us from the environment so that we don't have distraction? And we also pray that, Lord, you use the blood to cover us so that we can, in your protection, without any attack in or distraction from the enemy. So we ask you in your precious name, we pray, Amen. This morning when I came in and I saw the basement, there's a flooding. So we need to do different arrangement and things like that. So may all this won't distract us so that we can have peace in our heart and have quietness in our heart. And as we read God's word, may the Lord speak to us. This morning I would like to share the topic is the heavenly spiritual blessing. Before I go straight through the few verses in Ephesians chapter 1, before I go straight to share on the heavenly spiritual blessing, let us first look at who are the recipients of the letter. Because it is the recipients of the letter who are given the heavenly spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1. It said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. It is said clearly that this book is to the saints in Ephesus by Paul. So we are going to look a bit at Ephesus. At that time in the first century, Ephesus was the capital city of the province of Asia Minor, of the Roman Empire. Asia Minor is on the western part of Turkey nowadays. And the city of Ephesus is in the west part of the Turkey, next to the, close to the Mediterranean Sea. It was once a major port city with very good land transportation with other parts of Asia Minor. It was prosperous commercially as well. Ephesus was famous for her idol worship. There was a well-known Artemis temple, which was the temple of Diana, the goddess, recorded in Acts chapter 19, the idol. People from other places went there for worshipping idols. Archaeologists told us that it was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. As other idol worship in ancient times, this Artemis temple was a place filled with sin and sexual immorality. It was a sinful and dark place. But God called Paul to bring the true light of Jesus' gospel to Ephesus. Romans said, chapter 1, for the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The Lord converted people and built his church in Ephesus. The book of Acts recorded Paul has 3 mission trips in total, excluding the last trip to Rome in chains. In Acts chapter 18, at the end of his second mission trip, he visited Ephesus and preached the gospel to the Jews briefly and then left. After some time in Acts chapter 19, during Paul's third mission trip, he came back to Ephesus and stayed there for a few years. Let us have a look on how some of the Ephesians became believers in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, the first part told us that Paul firstly met some people. They thought they believed, but they did not receive the Holy Spirit. They didn't have the Holy Spirit indicated that they had crucial lacking in their belief. The faith they have is not the faith to salvation. Paul found that they only knew and received the baptism of John the Baptist, which is a baptism of repentance. Paul then preached Jesus to them. He explained to them Jesus is the Christ whom John the Baptist was referring to. These people then believed in Jesus and were saved. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. All of them received the Holy Spirit. There were about 12 people. These 12 people originally their situation is one of the examples of people they think they believe, but actually they are not saved. Another example is that some people, they have experienced God's grace, such as healing from sickness. They think God is good and helpful. They are willing to believe in Jesus so that they can receive help from God. They believe Jesus is their helper, but not Savior and Lord. Though they have experienced God's grace and help, they are not saved. Therefore, like the 12 people mentioned in Acts chapter 19, they need to repent and believe Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord so that they can be saved. Otherwise, one day, when they see God, they will be judged before the great white throne of God. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and 15, where it said, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." In this passage, we see there are two kinds of books. The first group of books are recording the deeds and works of man on earth, based on which individuals are judged. Let us call it record books of man's deeds. If the judgment is based only on these books of man's deeds, all will be condemned to eternal death. It is because all men sin, and the wages of sin is death. However, there's another kind of book which is singular in number. The Bible calls it the book of life. Those who are saved through faith in Jesus have their names written on this book of life. Verse 14-15 said, "Then the death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Therefore, it's an important matter in our life on earth to know that whether we are saved so that our name has been written in the book of life. Imagine a man. He intellectually agrees that he's a sinner. He's willing to agree with the salvation story of Jesus in the Bible. He has been invited and he has prayed a sinner's prayer to ask God for forgiveness and salvation. He got baptized and his name is written on the baptism list in the church record book. People told him that, since you have prayed a sinner's prayer and have been baptized, you are saved and have eternal life. However, his attitude towards sins hasn't changed. His attitude towards Jesus hasn't changed. He is still comfortable with the sin in his life and does not desire to pursue, to know Jesus and to follow him. Intellectually, he agrees with the content of the salvation in his head, but he doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus as the personal Savior and Lord. He still lives his own life by himself. He thinks that he has been saved. He thinks that he has already got the entrance ticket to the heaven when he dies. His thinking of being saved somehow gives him a peace of mind to live his own life, pursuing his own desire in this world. He's not converted. He's only a nominal Christian, but not true Christian. One day, he dies. He comes before the great white throne of God. He thought he is saved. However, he suddenly discovers that his name is not written on the book of life. He then cries out very loudly, "Why no one tells me earlier? Why no one tells me earlier? Are you saved? Have you the Holy Spirit? Is the name written, your name written in the book of life? If not yet, hope that today you can seek God earnestly. Open your heart to Jesus and repent of your sins and receive him as a personal Savior and Lord." Just like some Ephesians were mentioned in Acts chapter 19. There it said, "And many who had believed came confessing and telling this. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them into the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." These Ephesians, they confess their sins. They repent and believe in the Lord. They were truly converted. The gospel had impact in their lives. Once they understood that magic and the worship practices were sinning against God, they forfeited them and burned all the idol worship books. Although the books were financially valuable, they were willing to please God to forfeit them. The total value of 50,000 pieces of silver. How much is it? A piece of silver was about a man's wage for the day at that time. What is a man's wage for a day today? Let's say $200 in Sydney. 50,000 pieces of silver was around $10 million Australian dollar. That was a considerable sum of money. But the point is not the money or the sum, how much it is. The point is that they have been changed, have been impacted by the gospel. In the past, those magic books and practices were precious in their sight. Now the Lord become precious in their hearts. They were converted. They are true believers. their names are written in the book of life. These converts, together with the 12 people mentioned above and other Ephesian believers, not explicitly mentioned in Acts chapter 19, were the recipients of Paul's letter in Ephesians. Not only to them, but also to all believers today. The reason I spend quite a bit of time to share on Ephesians Christians, because the heavenly spiritual blessings are only for Christians, not for non-believers and nominal Christians. Also, it is very important for everyone to be truly saved. In verse 1 of chapter 1, the recipients are saints in Ephesus. They are called saints. Who are saints? In the Bible, saints do not mean holy men. Saints are just Christians, people with a name written in the book of life. Why Paul call Ephesian Christians saints? It doesn't mean that they are all holy and strong Christians. Paul called them saints because they are a group of people being set apart to God. If you are a Christian, you are a saint. You are the recipient of this book. Paul wanted the recipients to know the spiritual blessings they have. Let us now look at the book of Ephesians on the heavenly spiritual blessings. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Brothers and sisters, do we know the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places? We often think about earthly blessings in this world. Do we always think about the spiritual blessing we have? We care for our earthly blessings or loss. Do we care for our heavenly blessings? Sometimes, the more we focus on our earthly blessings, the sadder or more discontent we might have. If we consider more the heavenly spiritual blessings, we can have more joy. The heavenly blessings are secured. The earthly blessings, they are not reliable. They can come and they can go. Even when we suffer loss in earthly blessings, the heavenly blessings can strengthen us to face difficult situations, help us to experience God's grace and peace from God. In the U.S., there is an oil field, which is one of the biggest oil fields. It is called Yates Oil Fields. It was discovered in 1926. Today it is producing oil. It is estimated to have a reserve of 1 billion barrels of oil. There is a story behind this big oil field. More than 90 years ago, a couple called Ira and Ann Yates, they bought the land in West Texas to take care, to do a business of sheep farm. They came across the time of a very big recession, which people call the Great Depression. The money they earned from the farm was not sufficient to pay the mortgage to the bank and taxes to the government. They lived in poverty for quite a while. One day an oil company said to the husband, "We suspect that there is oil beneath your land. Are you willing to let us do the drill test?" They signed a contract and the oil company started to drill tests. The first oil well was about 300 meters down beneath the ground. It could produce 8,000 barrels of oil.
another well discovered could produce 200,000 barrels. Gradually, they discover various oil wells, big and small. Because of this discovery, the couple became billionaires. In fact, Ira and Ann Yates were billionaires long time before that. They were billionaires when they bought the farmland. They didn't need to live a poor life under such difficult time. However, because they didn't know, they had so much rich oil wells, so many rich oil wells, they couldn't enjoy the riches of these wells. Brother and sister, today, you and I have believed in Jesus and have become Christians. Our names have been written in the book of life. However, because we don't know much of our heavenly blessings, we may still live a poor, miserable Christian life on earth. What spiritual blessings have been given to us from God? God chose us. This is a spiritual blessing. Great spiritual blessing. In verse 4, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. God chose us. Today we are Christians, not because we are better than others. It is because of God's sovereign election. By ourselves, we have nothing to boast about. Not because we have done anything. This is all due to His gracious election. In John 15, Jesus said to His disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." Today we are Christians. Not because we chose Jesus, but it's because Jesus chose you and me. Yes, in our experience, you and I became Christian when one day we believed in Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord. It seems that it was us to choose Him. But actually, far before the time we believed in Jesus, God chose us before the foundation of the world. Before you and I were born, before our bodies were formed in mother's womb, before we even live a moment on earth, God chose us. Not based on our performance. This is all His grace. So all thanks and praises should be to Him. Someone said, "I do not repent. I don't want to repent and believe in Jesus because God hasn't chosen me. Therefore, it is not my responsibility." This is not true. God's election is God's sovereignty. Man's willingness to repent and believe is man's responsibility. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it said, "God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." In 2 Peter chapter 3, say, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Therefore, for those who haven't yet repented and believe in Jesus, God desires them to believe and be saved. Verse 4, again, it said in chapter 1 in Ephesians, "Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love." God desires us to be saved. But being saved from eternal judgment is not the purpose why God chose us. He chose us in order that we should be holy and blameless. On one hand, in Christ, we are already holy and blameless. This is the position we have in Christ. When God looks at us, He sees us holy and blameless. He accepts us. He calls us righteous. He sets apart, calls us saints belonging to Him. This is our status, our position in Christ. On the other hand, God is continuously working to make us make this position status to be our real experience state. God chose us not because we are holy, but because He wants to make us holy. In Leviticus chapter 11, God said to Israelites, "For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." God desires to make us holy because He wants to relate to us. He wants to be our God. He wants us to be His. That's why God chose us. Not only giving us this holy and blameless position in Christ, He wants to make us holy and blameless one day as our experience before Him. One reason He leaves us in this world is to transform us to be part of this process, achieving this purpose. Not only making us holy is God's desire. To be holy is also a desire of a true Christian. As we repent and believe in Jesus, to be made holy is also a desire of a true Christian. As we repent and believe, we receive a new life from God. This new life is attracted to God's holiness and the desire of it. Do you desire, do we desire God's holiness? Sometimes as Christians, when we look at ourselves, we can be discouraged because we might have so many struggles. We feel so weak. However, the holy and blameless position in Christ encourage us, motivate us to pursue God and His holiness. No matter how struggling or discouraging in the process, maybe today it is, God will succeed at the end. Because He chose us before the foundation of the world to achieve this. We can fail, but God never fails. He will surely accomplish this to make His choice, fulfilling His purpose. For every Christian, from the time she is saved, God gives this person a race to run, a way to walk, a heavenly way to walk as a pilgrim on earth towards heaven. What we need is to trust Him and to follow Him. But Satan often wants to discourage us through tempting us to sin and accusing us afterwards. Then he tells us that we are not good. We are disqualified. That God is angry with us, that God no longer wants us. Then we have no hope, and we feel that we better give up. These are all Satan's lies. God chose us before the foundation of the world to make us holy. His choice never changes. Once He made His choice never fails. He will do it. And He guarantees His own success. When we face the temptation of sin, we should run away instead of staying there. Just like Joseph in Genesis, ran away when his master's wife tempted him. Psalms 1 encourage us even not to get close to the temptation, but meditate on God's word. He said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. It is important for us to choose what we expose ourselves to. Who are our friends? The thing we read, we see, and we hear. If sometimes we sin and the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, we should turn to Jesus for help. Ask him for forgiveness and turn away from sinning. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 9, he said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Jesus' blood is effective in taking away the barrier of sin between us and God. It is so important for us to have Jesus' blood to restore our relationship with God. Because only with God we can experience His holiness. Only we are in a loving relationship with God. As in the last two words of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, before Him in love. In His love. This holiness is not a set of rules or moral standards. It has to be in God's love. The holiness is God's character. He is love. We are set apart completely to Him in a loving relationship with Him. Only in His love we can share His holiness. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 said about the second spiritual blessing. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. God not only chose us, He chose us to be His sons. Before the foundation of the world, He predestined to adopt us to be His sons. What is adoption? Adoption means originally a child does not belong to the family. He or she is an outsider. But the love and grace of the family, the child is adopted to the family, being cared and loved as sons or daughters of the adopted parents. We were sinners, unworthy of God and His house. God adopted us to be His sons. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. May we see more of the precious identity we have before God. We are His children. How He loves His children. We can rest in God's care and keeping. We can trust His provision and leading. Sometimes in difficulties we forget we are God's children. We're feeling that God forgets. He forgets me. He forsakes me. As God's people in Isaiah chapter 49 verse 14 saying, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. God's true prophet Isaiah said in verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Sometimes we hear that some mother, they leave their babies in their cars in a hot day. A few weeks ago, a mom in Victoria left her 14-month boy in her car for 2 hours during a very hot day while she is playing pokies. Later on, her son was unconscious and needed emergency treatment. Our God is not like that. He never forgets or forsakes his children. He said continuously in verse 16, "See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." We are inscribed on the palms of God's hands. We are well kept in Him. Our walls are continually before God. He is our protection. He is our God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 and 30, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear them, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Not only we are more valuable than many sparrows, we are His children. No matter what apparent danger we are in, we are held tight and we are well kept in His hands. Recently, we have a novel coronavirus around the world. As God's precious children, we don't need to fear. Yes, on one hand, we can take appropriate precaution in caring for one another. On the other hand, we know that in God's hands, we are safe. Even at the end, we need to end our time on earth. We know that God is in control. We know our name is already written in the book of life. We can be restful. So we can pray for brothers and sisters in Wuhan and other parts of China. They can have faith in God in their very difficult situation so that they can know deeply in their hearts that they are God's precious children. Their heavenly spiritual blessing can strengthen them to grow in God, even facing loss of earthly blessings. God has adopted us as sons so that we can have a very intimate relationship with Him. We can call God our Abba Father. Our Abba Father calls us beloved child. No need this. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, Apostle John continued, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." We are God's children. One day we shall be like Christ. When He is revealed, we shall see Him as He is. The Bible says we shall be like Him. We can be holy and blameless. Every child of God can have this hope. Apostle John encouraged us. Every child of God has this hope in Christ should purify himself, just as Christ is pure. We leave unrighteousness behind us. Let God form Christ's character in our lives so that we can grow and be like Him day by day. As we walk our path on earth, rely on our Lord, walk it faithfully. One day when we see Jesus face to face, we shall be like Him. God's heart desires us not only stay as a child all the time immature, but He wants us to be grown up sons so that God can be glorified. then we ask, after we are chosen, how can we sinful and unworthy people be made holy and blameless? How can we be adopted as sons by our holy God? It is done through the blood of Jesus, through the forgiveness of sin. As in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. God loves us so much in order to adopt us as His sons, make us holy and blameless to Him. He sacrificed His only begotten Son to shed His blood for us. Many years ago, a preacher called Harry Arenstein, he went to the U.S. Washington State to preach the gospel. He stayed in a shepherd's home. One morning he woke up and looked, and he saw a female, old female sheep, followed by a lamb, which looked strange. It seems to have six legs, with two behind hanging there. The skin seems to be partially detached from the body. The preacher thought the lamb was seriously injured. Later, the shepherd explained to the preacher the story behind. The lamb originally was an orphan lamb. He did not belong to the old female sheep. Her own lamb died after being bitten by a rattlesnake. The shepherd wanted the female sheep to take care of the orphan sheep, so he brought him to her. She sniffed at the lamb and then pushed him away. She seemed to show that the smell of the orphan lamb was different from that of the family. She didn't accept him. Then the shepherd carefully skinned the dead lamb bitten by the snake and drew the skin to the orphan lamb very carefully. That's why the preacher saw the partially torn skin with two dragging legs at the back. The shepherd then brought the orphan lamb to the old female sheep. This time, she smelled the orphan lamb again. She was happy with the smell and adopted him as hers in the family. This story causes us to remember how God sacrificed His own begotten Son, dying on the cross for us. His Son Jesus was not killed accidentally by a rattlesnake like the first lamb of the old female sheep. But it is the Father's determination to have His Son Jesus killed on the cross and die for us. When He looks at us, He can call us righteous before Him because of the covering of Christ on us. God is willing to sacrifice His own begotten Son on the cross in order to forgive us and adopt us as His sons. This is a proof of God's love towards us. It is a very strong proof. How great is His love towards us? No matter what happens, no matter what is our situation, no matter how difficult we are at, this is a strong proof that God loves us. His love never changes. Because of time, I would like to stop here. No matter what happens today, including natural disaster like earthquake or pandemic. Remember that all these disasters, difficulties, remind us that the coming of the Lord is near. But we don't need to fear. Although even feel that our soul is weak, let us be encouraged that God will succeed His work on us eventually. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He has already sealed us with His Holy Spirit for future glory. This is our assurance. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your great love. Abba Father, we thank You for Your great love. Even sometimes we may think and feel our situation is not easy. But as we meditate and remember what spiritual blessing You have given to us and how great the love You have for us, even You sacrifice Your own begotten Son in order to save us. May this great salvation and great love encourage us to treasure Your love and to be restful in Your love. May Your own word encourage our hearts so that Your word be the strength in our hearts so that we can follow You faithfully today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we are going to remember the Lord. Of His salvation before His table. Let us prepare our hearts and let's sing a hymn.